If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. Exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the show, to the Mind Medicine program. I'm your host, Charles Coves. I'm Australasia's passion provocateur. And we're delighted to bring you this show in association with Mind Medicine Australia. I'm in Melbourne, Australia, where it's 6 p.m., same time as the Gold Coast, the home of TNT Radio. For those of you driving home from a party in LA, it's 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. In UK, where my guest Claire Payne originates from, it's 9 a.m. Sunday morning. So I'm Australasia's passion provocateur. I wear a red jacket, and I hope you realize it's a black T-shirt, you see. So it goes very well with the colors of the TNT red, black, and white logo. I spend my life for the last 31 years provoking people to pursue their passion. And I hope having you on this show, whether it's live or by recording, that I provoke you to pursue your passion. My guest this week is Claire Payne, a science researcher, journalist. We'll explore precisely what she does. And we're going to be talking about the Australian Senate inquiry into excess deaths from the COVID jabs, the COVID scam jabs. And I say it's a scam, and I've spent 4 years investigating this issue, but so has Claire, and she's got some wonderful information to share with us. This show is all about how and why mind matters, and how to keep yours in great shape. We share ideas to provoke new ways about thinking about your life and life generally. And hopefully, you know, from our guests, Claire might inspire you to head down a different track in your life. We discuss insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And to that end, we are delighted to work in cooperation with Mind Medicine Australia, who 5 years ago worked to legalise psychedelic drugs and took 4.5 years up until 1st of July last year to legalise psilocybin and MDMA, two psychedelic drugs that have spectacular results in many, many cases where pharmaceutical drugs have had no benefit for people suffering from mental health problems. So congratulations to Tanya de Jong and Peter Hunt, the founders of Mind Medicine Australia. They started that journey because they met so many people suffering from mental health issues that pharmaceutical drugs were doing nothing to help, literally nothing to help. So visit the website mindmedicineaustralia.org.au. My definition of health is based on the Hungarian word for health, and Hungarian is a very precise language. The Hungarian word egészség means wholeness. My definition of health for you: health is the unique, optimal balance for you of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. And if any one of those three is out of whack, you are not healthy. So while we call this the Mind Medicine Program, I cover mental, physical, and spiritual elements. The other issue on that is that no one has your body. So the whole idea of protocols in medicine, of evidence-based medicine, I moderate two global meetings a week for doctors and scientists. The protocol idea is such a nonsense because we each have different bodies. To slavishly follow a protocol or this idea of evidence-based medicine to your detriment is appalling. And that's what was done with the COVID scam, you know, with vaccinating everybody, with not giving any allowance for your unique body is madness. And I call it out. You have to fight for your unique health needs. We talk about passion here. And my promise to you in 31 years I've been teaching about passion is when you're pursuing your passion, your mental health problems reduce. Why? Because passion comes from your soul, from your spirit, and your mental health problems disappear when you are living a life of passion. So if you don't know what your passion is, get my books, Passionate People Produce, Passionate Performance, study it up, do the work to discover it. And part of the game of passion is to have the courage to not be stuck in the boring, crappy job you might have when you could be pursuing your passion. Now, before I introduce Claire Payne to you and her wonderful background, I want to cover a couple of issues that are important in my view. Last week, I interviewed a Ukrainian originating doctor who now is in the Ukraine, Dr. Lydia Burrett. I hope you get a chance to listen to my interview of her. She reminded you that you have a choice for your health. It was a wonderful interview. If you haven't seen it, the beauty of TNT Radio, and I'm delighted that you're with us, is that you can listen to every single interview I've done since January 2022, so over 2 years now, of four interviews a week. Originally, it was two-hour shows a month, but now it's a one-hour show each month. That's four interviews of very interesting people like Claire. Listen to Lydia Burrett, beautiful exposition on her views on how you get optimal health. The next matter is inserts on drugs. I'm going to be repeatedly warning you about this or advising you. Whenever you get a pharmaceutical drug, take out the insert and read it. You will be horrified with the side effects listed on almost all pharmaceutical drugs. So don't just because a GP might tell you, hey, just take this drug, it's okay. Read the insert and then be horrified, and then you might choose to take it. But I interviewed Vanessa B, who doesn't want her surname publicized, on the antidepressants taken by her depressed husband, who committed suicide after 3 years, and what he was prescribed and the impact of these antidepressants on his life are horrific. So don't go taking drugs until you've read those inserts. Today I went to a meeting of WOW, World of Wellness, founded by Professor Ian Brighthope. And he made a comment. So the guest today was Shane Murdoch, Captain Shane Murdoch, a pilot who talked about the impact of the COVID jabs on the airline industry, on excess deaths in the airline industry. He also quoted excess deaths in the general population. And Ian mentioned the issue, well, yesterday, the tragedy of the attack at Bondi Junction, the Westfield Shopping Centre, where six people died and a baby is fighting for its life. You know, Ian mentioned there's so many people taking pharmaceutical drugs. It has an impact on mental health. Each drug you take has an impact on your mental health. And he made that comment, hey, this is a real problem in our society. WOW, the World of Wellness, check out his website, wowintl.org. There are alternative health systems being set up. I'm a big fan of Buckminster Fuller, the wonderful Buckminster Fuller, who died in 1983. He was awarded 47 honorary doctorates, and most of you have not heard of him. There's a Buckminster Fuller Institute. And Bucky's wonderful advice was, if you're not happy with a system, don't tear the existing system down, create a new one. And that's what the World of Wellness is about. You can join World of Wellness if you're a practitioner. I urge you to have a look at it. Join. It's only $35 a year. WOW is doing some great work. And WOW has, and Ian Brighthope has, work to create a new council in Australia called the Aligned Council of Australia. Its website is alignedcouncilofaustralia.com.au. There are now some 30 organisations that have joined the ACA. You can have a look at that website, alignedcouncilofaustralia.com.au. And AMPS has joined, Reignite Democracy Australia, WOW, a whole string of organisations that you know, AVN, the Australian Vaccination Risks Network, and it's got a reach now of over 1 million people, and it is the line to fight for your health. So check it out. It's organising Australia's largest ever letterbox drop against the actions of the World Health Organisation, properly called by Merrill Nass as the World Holocaust Organisation, with its desire on new pandemic treaty and new international health regulations that mean that that Tedros Ghebreyesus can take away your freedoms just like that and put Australia into lockdown and force you to have an injection against your will. No, thank you. Ian Plimer, Professor Ian Plimer, I'm a big fan of him. I know him personally. He wrote in The Spectator this week, in relation to the alleged climate emergency that doesn't exist, on the politics of science. And he pointed out, if you are a scientist and you want to get a grant to prove that CO2 does not impact on our climate, there's no way you'll get funding. Science research is now funded in a way to generate a desired narrative. This is a disaster. It destroys science. And you've heard me often say the science is never settled. And Claire, I'm sure, has a view on this question of what is real science and what the truth is in the science. So lastly, one of the issues that we've been hearing about is how unhealthy meat is, being meat eaters, you know, and they're trying to sell this idea of eat bugs, not meat. Well, I was watching there's a new movie out called Food Lies. And it was very salutary on the ability of you to rejuvenate your health by eating much more meat and less carbohydrate. Have a look at that movie, Food Lies, Ivor Cummins. I'm a big fan of Ivor Cummins' research. And this idea that meat and fish is bad for you and you should be eating grains and plant food is a lie. So the science is never settled. Why was meat demonized? Because it sold sugar. Why was fat demonized? Because it sold sugar. Follow the money. The money drives the equation, and I'm here to help you find truth in all of this mess. Spread the TNT message. Get people to listen to this station. There's no political correctness here. There's no censorship. There's no wokeism on this radio TV station. And remember, at all times, choose to be happy. You don't need circumstances to be perfect for you to be happy. You can be happy while you are in the middle of this World War III, as I am. I reckon pushing back against this COVID scam, this attack on our inalienable rights, this attack on your freedom, this attack on truth, we are about 4 years into a seven-year war, in my estimation, and I'm delighted that people like Claire and TNT Radio are fighting this war. We have to fight this war, and we have to be in good health so we can fight it, but this is no time to be tired. They want to take away your rights. I'm in favour of you retaining your rights. You can contact me by email, charles@coves.com. I also have a weekly Charles Coves show. You can subscribe to that on Rumble or podcasts. And I think that's all. My website is charlescoves.com. So you get lots of information and information about my books on passion. So this place of passion, let me introduce passionate Claire Payne, P-A-I-N. By the way, one of my article clerks was a guy who's now a King's Counsel in Melbourne, Nick Payne, P-A-N-E. So there you are. That'll stop people getting confused, or maybe that'll increase the confusion. Claire is a medical journalist and science writer with over a decade's experience of writing for doctors and the general public. After 2 years studying medicine, Claire completed a chemistry degree followed by a master's in operational research. She then worked for 8 years in industry in the UK as a statistician. Claire turned to science writing and medical journalism in 2011, so that's 13 years ago. She has written for the ABC, New Scientist, the Springer Nature Publishing Group, Medical Observer, Australian Doctor, Spectator Australia, and the Epoch Times. And by the way, it's a great credit to Claire because you have to be a good writer to get published in Spectator Australia, so full credit to her. Since December 2021, so for over 2 years, Claire has run projects on clarityonhealth.org to examine the response to COVID in Australia. In early 2022, she carried out the Australian survey of reasons for COVID vaccination. Now, you know my view on this. It's not a vaccine, it's a jab, but you know, it's called a vaccine by the government, so I'm sure Claire didn't want to confuse people. The Australian Survey of Reasons which was completed by 27,000 Australians and provided evidence of thousands of cases of coercion, including Shane Murdoch, Captain Shane Murdoch, who I mentioned earlier. He is a pilot, was coerced, and he's running a major court case in the federal court against Virgin Airlines for wanting to coerce him. He refused to be jabbed, by the way. For the past year, Claire has been focusing on excess deaths, both overseas, as the statistical coordinator behind excessdeaths.com, and in Australia, working closely with the Australian Medical Professionals Society, that's called AMPS. I'm sure you've heard of AMPS. She's proud to have been part of a delegation to federal parliament in October 2023, and she's a contributor to the AMPS book, Too Many Dead. Claire has concerns about how the Australian Bureau of Statistics is reporting excess deaths with their new model, which has more than halved the official figures. There you are. See this, the games that statisticians play and governments play to defraud you, literally to defraud you. Claire sees the current Senate inquiry into excess deaths as a huge opportunity for Australians to report the unexpected loss of their loved ones and to say what they believed caused their deaths. Claire Payne, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Charles.
Now, Claire, tell us about this Senate inquiry. What is the message that let's deal with the number one issue? I'm happy to spend as much time as you like on this because this is a big deal that has been reported globally that the Australian Senate has voted to do this inquiry.
Yes. So we have Senator Ralph Babbitt, the Victorian UAP senator, to thank for this. He's been very persistent for over a year. I think this was the fifth attempt to get an inquiry, and it was voted, and I think it got through by one vote. So we're having an inquiry, and it goes to a particular committee, and it's the closing date is May the 17th. So the terms of reference have just been produced, and we're sort of stuck with the terms of reference. They're pretty okay. I was a bit surprised they don't include 2020. They talk about explaining excess deaths in 2021 to 2023. This is partly because the government would say there weren't any excess deaths in 2020, but actually I'm sure some people did die as a result of lockdowns. I'm sure there were suicides, but other people didn't die from flu and things. So there was a net, not excess deaths. So we've got until May the 17th. When you look at the terms of reference, which are quite simple, it's all about the broad brush, what it looks like in the big picture. But I want us to think hard because the total excess deaths in Australia is a sum of all the individual excess deaths. And here we have to actually say, what is an excess death? People don't necessarily know. So an excess death is a death you didn't expect, one more than expected. And you calculate it with a very simple formula. Excess deaths are the actual deaths minus what you expected in whatever period you're looking at. It might be a month, it might be in a year. So how many happened in that period minus how many you expected to happen. And this is the problem because there is no official way to work out the expected deaths. Anything that is kind of reasonable and logical and makes sense can be used. And actually, as we've gone through the pandemic, the ABS has used three different definitions. And the most recent one was from July last year. They've been using a new complicated mathematical equation to predict what we would expect. We started off with a very nice, simple way of predicting excess deaths, which was just, let's say, in any particular week, we expect the deaths to be the same as they were on average for the 5 years before the pandemic, which is a nice, sensible, reasonable thing. The new thing is much more complicated. And the problem is that by choosing your expected, you can get whatever number you want for your excess deaths. And so the new model, which has lots of good things about it, but one notable thing about it is that it halves the number of excess deaths. And so you do wonder, what I do worry about is an awful lot of effort has been put into this new model. I wish the same amount of effort had been put into trying to find out what the cause of these excess deaths was. So that's the new model. But the inquiry is sort of talking about these numbers and can we think what the causes are? And I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for individual people who've lost someone So somebody who in 2019 you would never have expected to be dead today, somebody you know, and just to write a one-page a submission to the inquiry just saying, could this person be one of the excess deaths? I think they might be. To tell briefly their story and to say what you think caused their death. And there's various things that could have done, but obviously one thing that I think could have been, it could have been to do with the COVID vaccinations. If you feel that a COVID vaccination caused a death of someone you know and cared about, then you should say that. And it would be very interesting if you also said whether that was reported that to the TGA that it could have been linked to the COVID vaccinations, because we've, I think there's been massive underreporting of that. Your excess death that you know about might have been somebody who died from COVID. And if it's somebody who died from COVID, I think we still need to ask questions. And this is something else I'm very worried about, which is that there definitely appears to be a move to make us sort of think all the excess deaths, particularly with this new model, they're all deaths from COVID, so we don't need to worry about that. But we need to question, why were there so many deaths from COVID in 2022 and 2023 when we're a heavily vaccinated population? The vaccines are supposed to protect us from death. Do we know? We haven't been told for every death whether the person was vaccinated or not vaccinated. So if you've lost someone from COVID, and you wouldn't have expected them to be dead from COVID, in other words, they're not a very old, frail person, you've lost somebody, then that's another reason to send in and say, were they vaccinated or were they not vaccinated? Was it perhaps the treatment they got in hospital that wasn't appropriate that caused their death? It isn't okay to just say COVID must be an excess death. And I can explain more about that if you're interested. There are lots of reasons why we must question this attempt to fob us off with COVID deaths as being the cause of all excess deaths.
Well, Claire, that is, I do want to explore that more clearly, because I think you have articulated beautifully what people should be thinking about doing. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, I will unpack that again as to what different elements of what we want to bring before what the Senate inquiry should be looking at. I'm with Claire Payne. We'll be back after these messages.
TNT's Rick Munn.
Surely basic common sense should overrule any need for any report when it comes to this. I mean, is this the only time in history that a report would even be needed or be commissioned and take 4 years to write, to stop mutilating children, to stop messing around with their puberty and with their development, to stop indoctrinating them and assisting them to destroy their bodies before even the age of 18 in some cases? Surely that's basic common sense. At no other point in history, certainly that I'm aware of, in the United Kingdom or Ireland, has this been facilitated before. It's only been in the last, decade or so that this has started to become a thing that doctors and teachers and parents and politicians have actually gotten behind and encouraged.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
If you're still wearing a cloth or surgical mask around in public, you're guilty of spreading COVID misinformation. It really is that simple. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the show. My guest is Claire Payne, medical journalist. Claire, you were saying on this Australian Senate inquiry that it will be of value to have people who have lost loved ones to prepare a one-pager. And I want to remind our audience of Vanessa's story. I mentioned it in terms of her husband committing suicide. She did a 5-minute video that all of you can see on the Mind Medicine website about the trauma that her family suffered. This is the value of a story. You know, Claire, and you're a storyteller. So Vanessa's 5-minute video tells the story And that video of her husband's suicide and what he went through with 18 different antidepressant drugs and 87 instances of electroconvulsive therapy, 87. And her story was played to the TGA, 120-plus researchers. They were initially skeptical about legalizing psychedelic drugs, and her five-minute story swayed the day. And that's what you're telling us, Claire, that this is an opportunity for Australians to have such an impact on the Senate. Is that true?
Yes. Now, look, the Senate isn't asking for this, and I think they're going to curse me for getting people to send them in. But I think under the terms of reference, it says factors. Let me just read that. Factors contributing to excess mortality in 21, 22 and 23. Well, the death of somebody that you didn't expect to be dead is a factor contributing. And I have this sort of vision that wouldn't it be wonderful? Of course, these things will be uploaded electronically, but if they arrived as paper and it was a bit like the letters from the owl in Harry Potter, wouldn't it be amazing if we could stack them into piles according to the reasons that the people said that they thought had caused the excess deaths, because this is what nobody's looked into and should be looked into. I mean, there would be a pile, one assumes, to do with the vaccines. There would be a pile, one assumes, to do with COVID. There is probably a pile to do with economic effects from the lockdowns and people committing suicide because they're in financial trouble after lockdowns. And there may be other things. You know, we've got to be scientific about this. We've got to think of all the possible hypotheses. And of all the people in Australia, there are other people who've lost people, and they know why, and we need to hear what factors there are that have caused these extra deaths.
So now, yes, give us an idea of the numbers. So the number I've heard Shane Murdoch quoted was 17, 18% excess deaths. Now, people see that number, just when that's published, a number like that is published, you know, can you unpack for people? You know, I have a view of what that means, but what that really means.
Yeah, so I don't think we'll do percentages because, look, it all depends which model, as I explained. So if we give the ABS the benefit of the doubt and we use their new model, even with the new model, it's still really shocking. So, and let's look at 2022, which is a year which we've got full data for with their new model. So in that year, that they say 19,945 more Australians died than you would have expected in 2022. 19,945.
So this is on the new model.
The new model. Well, yes, the old model said 25,603 in that year, but they've got it down to 19,945 in that year. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you think of it in terms of plane crashes, of a crash of a plane with, say, like an Airbus A380 or something with about 300 people on board, that means in 2022, there were 66 such plane crashes.
Wow.
And you think about one plane crash, a real plane crash. You know, if there's a real plane crash, we have a very meticulous way of investigating it. Everything is that often those planes are grounded while it's investigated what the cause was, and it's done very scientifically, and they don't rule anything out. They look for all the possibilities because they're trying to get to the root cause or causes of it. But what happened here is we've had 66 plane crashes and nobody has investigated at all what. I'll tell you what, all that has been done is that this new model's been produced to make the numbers bring it down to 66 plane crashes. It would have been, more than that before.
It would have been 78 plane crashes on those numbers.
Right. Okay. If you could do maths in your head like that. Okay. So that's been done. And they draw the one thing I really object to with their new statistics is they draw a graph where they show the actual deaths. And then they take off every possible COVID death you could think of, every death with COVID as well as deaths from COVID, and assume that each one of those is an excess death. And we really have to argue that whether all COVID deaths are excess deaths, because people are very old who die from COVID. Half of them are over 86. And so a lot of those people would have died in that year anyway. It was their year to die, sadly. And if it hadn't been COVID, something else would. So the very idea that we just take off every COVID death as being one of the excess deaths. No, those weren't the excess deaths. There are other deaths. And they haven't even found out which deaths are they. Is it more people dying from cancer? or diabetes or what? What is it?
So in terms of the numbers of excess deaths, so 19,945 more deaths than expected. So how is the expected number calculated then?
Right, so this is
really clear.
Yeah, so this is using their new model, and it's a complicated equation that's got a sine curve in it, and it's what's called a regression model. It looks, you know, super duper, but I see flaws with it. But it, you know, as I say, there's no official way of doing it. They can do it that way if they like, and we can still use that and still say you need to explain the 66 plane crashes, please. You know, we want an explanation, and we're not going to be fobbed off with they're all due to COVID. We can argue very clearly that only a fraction of them were due to COVID. And then we have to say, why are they dying from COVID when people have been jabbed?
Yes. So to get really clear, regardless of the complexity of the equation, I remember doing sine curves in my schooling days whilst I was a lawyer. I did math science before.
Yes.
Before I became a lawyer, I love numbers. So in simple terms, in Australia, in 2019, perhaps 150,000 people of all ages died. Perhaps, you know, and the last 5 years average would have been something in the realms of 160,000. And then you get a sort of number, well, we expect, and you know, my understanding is 150,000 is expected, and suddenly it's 19,000 more, it's 170,000. Is that a good way for people to grasp this issue?
Yes, so actually in 2022, they expected about 171,000, and there were more like 191,000 deaths in 2022. And if you look at... If you look at the total... cumulative from 2021, which of course is when the vaccines were rolled out, we've got 99 plane crashes so far, and they've only taken us through to the end of August last year. So there's going to be more plane crashes with no explanation.
99 plane crashes. And remind me, what sort of plane are we talking about?
Oh, I don't want to be rude to Airbus. Not that fly beautifully. But I was suggesting an Airbus A380 that holds about 300 people.
Yep, beautiful. I'm going to use that, Claire, because that's a useful way to explain to people, and we all need useful ways to think. You know, that's why they get these pictures of this alleged COVID, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, alleged, because there are lots of experts who say viruses don't even exist, and this spike thing, and then people get this picture in their mind. Well, I like your picture that this excess death is horrible. Why do you then? Give you the hard question. Give me your honest answer. There's no censorship on this station. Why do you think this vote to hold an inquiry failed four times, and then the fifth time it only passed by one vote? What's the Senate worried about? Doesn't it care about these 99 plane crashes full of people?
Well, the problem is, isn't it, that mistakes have happened, I'm pretty sure, with both the Liberal government and the Labour government as they took us through COVID. And nobody wants their mistakes found out, especially if it turns out that the vaccines are behind a lot of these deaths, so they're not as safe and effective as we were promised. Nobody wants to admit to a mistake of that magnitude, do they?
Well, I would propose to you that it's not a mistake at all. And as a lawyer, I propose to you and our audience to think about this, that not one expert in this field of epidemiology, of immunology, not one expert in Australia, let alone the UK, let alone the US, was allowed to question the government's view. And I say that this is like running a court case where, use your example, plane crash, where the plane crashed and the judge says, well, I'll hear from Boeing, I'll hear from Airbus Industries, and they'll put their reason, well, it wasn't our fault that it crashed. And the judge says, well, we're not interested in listening to the relatives of the deceased with their evidence. I've made up my mind that Airbus had nothing to do with this crash. That's exactly what happened in this whole in this whole issue of looking at this. And so I say there's no mistake. I say it's a fraud. And I'd like you to convince me it's a mistake, and I'm sure you can't.
Well, I think there are many people involved in this who really believe they were doing the right thing. Even people at very high levels, some of them really believed they were doing the right thing. And I speak from personal experience here that there are people who are just very busy doing their jobs and they believe what they're told by authorities higher up in the health chain. I believe that, I think that at the very least, we've got massive negligence in not looking at the data properly. What is criminal, I think, has been the suppression, which is what you've been alluding to, the suppression of free speech, which was done from early on. And as I was working as a medical journalist, I went into COVID, very scared of COVID and very excited that vaccines were coming. But as I worked as a medical journalist, continued to work during COVID, I noticed a big change in the way academia was working, and that one was no longer able to question anything. And so the whole freedom of speech,
Claire, that is wonderful. I love that. Please share your journey that you thought this was a good idea. And, you know, and you're a lovely example, I think. You make two good, excellent points, that people not at the top of the pile, but a little bit down, that they were genuinely thought, as you did. And then you woke up to this fraud. So keep going, because I think I just want to highlight that issue.
Well, so one thing is I'm blessed with a husband that saw through things long before me. He's a mechanical engineer. And so with lockdowns, he just said, how can this make any sense? You know, what's the end point? What is the end point that they're trying to get to? You know, you're just putting off the evil day. And it wasn't until a year later that we realized that the end point was actually to keep people pristine and unvaccinated. I think now, if you look at all the decisions that were made, I think that I defy anyone to find a decision that wasn't actually in the best interests of Big Pharma that was made. I think the lockdowns were very much in the interests of Big Pharma because that kept people away from COVID. What's your nightmare if you're a vaccine manufacturer? You're busy developing your vaccine. Your nightmare is that all the money you've spent is wasted because by the time it's ready, everyone's had the illness and they're naturally immune. So keeping us locked down meant that that nightmare didn't happen and that the profits were made. So I'm now highly suspicious that what actually happened was something that was in the interest of maximizing pharmaceutical company profits. That's my personal view. I don't have proof of that, but I think there's an awful lot of evidence that that's what's going on. But that doesn't mean that everybody involved was part of that.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent point. Not everybody was involved in that fraud that was being perpetrated. Yep. That's a fair comment.
All right. So waking up, just sort of things were different. I was terribly scared of COVID at first and it was very fascinating being a journalist because doctors were so desperate to find out about COVID and we were reading the early papers and seeing that it was being transmitted to humans. And I was one of the first people sitting on the train going into work wearing a mask and feeling embarrassed because there was only me and one or two Asian people who normally wear masks. But I thought, I'm wearing this because this thing is going to get to Sydney and all the rest of it. By the end of my journey, my husband and I were in Britain, looking after my dad in the winter. My dad was quadruple jabbed and we were neither of us vaccinated by that time. And, this was early 22. And we decided to, deliberately try and catch COVID because we didn't want to make my dad sick. We didn't want to be the ones that brought it home to him. So we went on a holiday to the middle of Sheffield. We rented an apartment there for 3 weeks and we tried terribly hard to catch COVID. We went to pubs. We went on buses. We went to a children's pantomime because at that time Omicron was coming around and they said children are spreading it everywhere. We went to a children's pantomime to get breathed on. And I got a very bad cold, but I didn't get COVID. So then we ran out of money. We couldn't be, and my dad, who's a little bit confused, sort of said, I can't understand why you're going on holiday to the middle of Sheffield. Nobody does that. Anyway, eventually we gave up and just thought we'd live a very quiet life and try not to bring anything back to him. And then we went to visit my husband's family in the south of England. We went round from one family to another. We tested every time before we went so we wouldn't bring any diseases to anyone. When we got back, and then we got to, I think, house number five, and they said, oh, we've got COVID. You can't come and visit us. And we said, we'd like to catch COVID. Please let us come. And they said, oh, no, no, no. We couldn't take the responsibility for that. And then the next house also had COVID. Oh, no, you can't come. So we beetled off back home. And there was my dad. And he went to bed early. And the very next day, we took him for a drive around in the country, which he liked. And he was coughing and coughing in the car. And he came when we finished, I said, Dad, you never cough. So we did a test and he'd got COVID. And he then gave us COVID. So 3 days later, we got it from him, which makes me think that God has a wonderful sense of humor because we got COVID from my dad and our whole aim was to not give it to him. But there he was, quadruple jabbed, caught it from a friend of his who he'd gone to lunch with, who was triple jabbed. So they spread it to us.
Yes, I think that is a beautiful, beautiful articulation of this concept of shedding. And, you know, this I've been involved in health care since 1970 when I started university. And, well, in fact, since 1965 when I went to my first naturopath. And then through my journey, I've taken a great interest in this. And when I look at this idea of a virus catching it, you know, shedding versus catching something that has been injected into your dad. So you couldn't get it from someone who seemed to have COVID. And I say to people, how do you know you've got COVID? And they'd say, well, I did a PCR test or a RAT. Mm. Well, they are totally fraudulent tests. They don't tell you that you've got COVID. And then, as I said at the top of the show, each one of us has got an extraordinarily, we've got a unique body.
Yes.
So that how we respond to any issue will depend on how our body is functioning. So to say, well, this is clearly the symptoms of COVID, that is a matter for debate. Now, I love the idea that you only got it from someone who'd been jabbed. We've got to have a break. We'll be back after these messages. Thank you for being with us on TNT Radio and TV, and we'll be back after these messages.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Everyone deserves to live a full life. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now.
You're listening to Mind Medicine. Mind Medicine. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back. You have heard Claire Payne, medical journalist, telling us that she could only end up catching COVID from someone who had been jabbed, namely her dad, who was quadruple jabbed with these poison, what I call bioweapons. So very interesting. The other interesting data point is produced by Alec Zek, who's done a wonderful video series, and he produced a chart of 37 symptoms of toxic poisoning, toxicity, 37 symptoms. And guess what? Those 37 symptoms are identical to the symptoms of COVID. So when you start to look at when we're unwell, it's a toxicity issue that your body is full of toxins. Plus then you've got the, you've heard me in one of our guests was talking about electromagnetic radiation, 5G towers, and you start to go, gosh, all this burden on our bodies. All right, let's talk about these jabs. And Claire, you did a survey, the Australian Survey of Reasons for COVID-19 Vaccines, completed by almost 27,000 Australians. So what did you learn from that survey?
Right. So this was the first thing I did when I left my job. I left my job in December 2021, writing for doctors. I left for various reasons. One reason was that I felt that censorship was, well, censorship was going on in the organisation I was working for. I had I was a lone voice that thought that things were wrong, but you couldn't voice that you thought that things were wrong. And then there was a practical thing that I had to go to the other side of the world and I couldn't work from the other side of the world. But the first thing I did at this stage, I wasn't sure about whether the vaccines were harmful or not. But what I certainly knew by December 21 was that we were dealing with a completely new technology, genetic vaccines, whether you call them vaccines or not, I don't think they really are. But it was genetic technology. And anyone who's done any science knows that if things can go wrong, they will. And that when you're doing a whole new way of doing something, things are going to go wrong. And the idea that that should then be rolled out to the whole population is absolutely reckless. So I was still in two minds about whether to get jabbed, but then we decided on catch the Omicron, and my husband was adamant he would not get jabbed. So at the stage I did the survey, I wasn't sure they were doing harm, but I was sure that people were being coerced, and I utterly disagreed with what was going on because it was against all principles of medical ethics. I found it utterly amazing that you could look at the Australian Immunisation Handbook online, which said that people must not be subjected to any undue pressure or coercion. And yet all around us, people were being told to choose between their jobs and getting jabbed, or to choose between getting jabbed to be able to go and visit a dying family member or a very sick family member, or to travel. And this, whether, you know, even if the vaccines were the best thing since sliced bread, everyone has a right to choose whether they have that thing put in them or not. And so I was really quite, I thought this was dreadful what was going on. So I did this survey. I did an online survey because I had worked as a statistician in my 20s. I felt fairly confident doing that, but I could not get it. I wrote to every MP, every senator, all the mainstream media press people, and nobody took any notice. The only people who would publicise my survey were people who were nervous of the vaccines and sort of on our side. So people like Monica Smith's Reignite Democracy Australia, Clive Kelly, George Christensen, people like that, put them on their website. So my survey is a biased survey because it wasn't a representative sample, but it doesn't really matter. I had more than nearly 27,000 responses, and only about a third were vaccinated. So you can see we're not dealing with the typical Australian. We're dealing with people who didn't want these vaccines. But there were nearly 10,000 people who had been jabbed, and I asked what their reasons were. I did the survey quite well because I gave it a sort of official title, and lots of people on our side thought it was the government trying to trick them, whereas in fact it was just me trying to make it look like it was an official survey. And I felt that the government should itself have been doing a survey to see whether people were being coerced, because it's their job to make sure we weren't being. And it was just so sad. The replies were so sad. Well, 77% of the people who'd been vaccinated had been vaccinated for a reason that was, I said that they had felt extremely coerced. You know, 77% of those people. Now, of course, these are the people who were most reluctant, but 77%. So that boils down to, I've got over 8,000 Australians saying they felt either extremely or very coerced, and most of them are extremely. So that's evidence which I hope will be useful in an inquiry. We shouldn't have one Australian coerced, no matter the nearly 8,000 that responded to my survey. And that, of course, is just the tip of the iceberg. There are far more who didn't respond. So that, something terrible happened. And I sent that to John Skerritt, the leaders of ATAGI, and all the chief health officers. I had two acknowledgements, one from the WA chief health officer and one from Brett Sutton. Everyone else just, you know, it was as if I hadn't sent it. But it's an open letter. It's on my website. I think I said, you know, I think we are breaking our own rules in the immunisation handbook. It's against
medical ethics. And the website is clarityonhealth.org?
Yes, clarityonhealth.org, yeah.
Well, I think that's spectacular what you did. It is very sad. And I think people need to understand this question of forcing people to be jabbed. That's what the WHO wants the power to do. Mm. And that's why all of us have to be appalled. And your research, I think, will come in handy. And I think we should make more use of it about how appalling that situation was. So clarityonhealth.org. Now, what do you think about John Skerritt getting a role as a director on Medicines Australia, on the board of Medicines Australia, which is the pharmaceutical company's body in Australia?
Mm. Well, lots of people who have been very senior have moved on to very lucrative, very prestigious positions, haven't they?
Well, I think it stinks. I'm going to make a big fuss of it. I'm preparing some questions to ask Skerritt and the rest of the board of Medicines Australia and the government, because Skerritt had been regulating the companies that are the biggest paying members of Medicines Australia. And now there he is on the board doing their bidding. I wonder what he's being paid. I wonder if we will ever find out what he, as a veterinarian, is being paid. By the way, you know, that's one of the questions I was going to ask you, Claire. People say to me, well, Charles, you're not a doctor. What would you know about health? Claire, you're not a doctor. What would you know about health? What's your response to people who say that nonsense?
Well, I think, Charles, people should just have a look at you and see how well and fit you look. And you might reveal your age if you want to, but I think
I am 70. I am 71.
71, and you're in fantastic shape. When I go and see my GP, if he's got a great big fat belly or whatever, and he's telling me how to live, I don't take the advice. So, and any intelligent person that does enough research can, have views on anything. You know, so I do have a bit of an inside track with medicine because I did 2 years of medicine. And so I know a bit of the way doctors think. And I also know how they're brainwashed into thinking that they are the bee's knees and, you know, gods, really. But the whole idea that only experts can look at things. I've in a year become quite an expert on excess deaths. I knew very little about it, but in a year where I've worked full time on it, I know a heck of a lot now, to the point where I'm going to almost certainly be a witness at that Senate inquiry and know a lot more than nearly anyone else in Australia. If you work at something and you're pretty bright, you can, have opinions worth hearing.
Well, I would put to you that when I started university, as I said earlier, in 1970, universities were far more different to what they are now.
Yes.
And now they're just indoctrination centres, and there's no way you'll get a good education there. So, in fact, when somebody says, I'm a doctor, it's highly likely that will immediately drop them in my estimation rather than raise them. Now, because we're tight for time, tell me about, I loved your comment that you consider during the COVID scam that suppression of free speech is criminal. I love that idea.
Well, that's the most important thing. If that hadn't happened, we wouldn't be in the mess we were in, because science is a process. Science isn't the science. It's a process. It's a process of trying to discover the truth or get closer to the truth. And there's no such thing as a silly question in science. You can ask anything you like and people can rebut it or demolish it or whatever. It's debate and discussion. And if we had debate and discussion, which was stifled from the beginning, if we had that, think of the lives that would not have been lost. We would have had early treatments for COVID that worked. People would not have been jabbed long after we found out that these jabs were causing much more harm than any other jab ever has. And this is all because free speech has been stifled. And that is the greatest crime of all. This misinformation, I hate those words, misinformation and disinformation. To me, that's the way communists talk. And it's defined in the new bill as something that's not what the government says. I think we don't have to protect the truth. You know, if their narrative was correct, it's not some fragile thing that has to be protected by stifling any voices against it. If it's right, argument will show it's right. So, you know, I think free speech is crucial.
So could you just articulate that point again, that the new disinformation bill defines misinformation or disinformation as information contrary to the government's position on anything?
Well it does it negatively in that it says these people can't produce mis and disinformation, and those people are the government, the media, and the universities. Anything they say isn't misinformation and disinformation. It has to be from other people.
Wow. I hadn't picked that up. That's a beautiful pickup. Well, I totally agree with you. You know, that the communist playbook is precisely, and my parents were refugees from Hungary, and they were refugees from communism. The communist playbook, and if you study it from its inception, is that the beginning of the end of freedom is to start with free speech. And so in the 30s in Europe, what they would do is the kids would come to school, the 5-year-old kids, the 6-year-old kids, and say to the children, what did you talk about over dinner last night? And the kids would say, oh, daddy said the government is hopeless. Mm-hmm. And then his father would disappear forever. Mm-hmm. And suddenly families realized they couldn't speak the truth to their kids. They couldn't speak the truth to their relatives. And that also is another reason why the lockdown happened and was deliberate and was not a mistake, because it stopped us not only getting natural immunity, but also not speaking to each other.
Yes.
So that we go, hey, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and so your experience with all these doctors, I love what you said, that they think they're gods. They are not gods. And it is my contention that if enough doctors had pushed back in their own integrity, this scam would not have succeeded. So I call on doctors to awaken, because they are perpetrating a fraud. And the majority of doctors who have perpetrated it, their response when asked, why did you do that? They say, I have a mortgage to pay. Well, I say that's criminal, because they have treated people contrary to their best interests for their own personal gain. That is contrary to medical ethics.
I agree, Charles, and I know you're very short of time. I completely agree. Lots of people have had to make choices to do with mortgages, but with a doctor's case, you've been actually harming people by what you've been doing.
Correct. Thank you so much, Claire, for being well done on your work. The Senate inquiry, get your submissions in, everybody, 17th of May. Send me an email if you need more detail, and I'll introduce you to Claire. Well done on your great work, Claire. Thanks for being with us. See you next week.